Okay, everybody pretty much there? Let's start. On the day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, he led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it did not burn up. "This is amazing," Moses said to himself. "Why isn't the bush burning? I must go see it." Then, when the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush, saying, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. And we're also going to look at Joshua 5:15. So you don't have to turn there. It'll be real quick. Here he is. The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua did as he was told. So we see this taking off of sandals or shoes. And it's kind of like leaving your troubles and your fears and anything that's really distracting you from God before you enter this holy ground. At God's command, Moses and later Joshua removed their sandals and covered their faces. Now, taking off the shoes is an act of reverence. God is our friend, but He is also our Lord. And I looked up Lord in the dictionary, just for fun. And it means a person in authority, a person in command, a person of power, a master, or a ruler. Now, to approach Him casually would be a sign of disrespect. And when we come to worship, do we want to come casually? Or do we want to come as the presence of an Almighty King? Ecclesiastes 5:1. As you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. It is evil to make mindless offerings to God. Do not make rash promises. Do not be hasty in the bringing of matters before God. After all, God is in heaven, and you are here on earth. So let your words be few. And this is basically saying, keep your ears open and your mouth shut. And don't say things that aren't true. Alright, so if you haven't caught on already, I'm going to be teaching on worship tonight. I don't think John mentioned that, but that's cool. And I'm going to go through a couple of points about worship. And the next one's going to be sacrifice. Now, let's read John 19, 17 through 30. Point number 4. This is going to be kind of long, but it's good to hear. Okay. Starting in verse 17. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place called the place of the skull. They nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus in between them. And Pilate posted a sign above him reading, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests object and said to Pilate, "Change it from the King of the Jews to I am the King of the Jews." And Pilate replied, "No, I have written what I have written." Then the soldiers had crucified Jesus, and they divided his clothes among the four of them, and they also took his robe. But it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. And so they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture saying, they divided the garments among them and threw dice for my clothing. So that is what they did. Standing near the cross where was Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw the mother standing there beside his disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here's your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here's your mother." From then on, the disciple took her into his home. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge and put it on a hyssop branch and held it to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and released his spirit. Now, this next point is sacrifice. And I thought that maybe that would be a good example of sacrifice to see the King of this world coming to be a human and laying it all down. So if Christ can do this sacrifice, pay it all and die and have his Father turn his back on him, then what can we sacrifice to God? Maybe it's distractions we put next to each other. Maybe it's the friends you're sitting next to. Maybe it's the technology you have. And I'm going to take this time right now, and if there's anything you want to sacrifice to God right at this point, there's going to be some paper over here. You can write it on there if it's something not right here. Or whatever it is, you can come lay it at the cross. And if anyone wants to do that while I'm preaching, that's good. And I'm going to go ahead and sacrifice my cell phone because I wasted a lot of time that I could be spending with God. And He deserves that time. Okay. Where was I at? Okay. Romans 12:1. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your body to God because of all He's done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, the kind He finds acceptable. This is truly a way to worship Him. So God is not only asking for the things that are distracting you between Him, He's also asking for your entire body. And of course it says, this is truly a way to worship Him. 2 Samuel 24:21-25. Starting in verse 21. Y'all there? Everybody pretty much there? Alright. "Why have you come, my lord the king?" David replied, "I have come to buy your threshing floor and to build an altar to the Lord so that I can stop, that He will stop this plague. Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish. Here are oxen for burnt offerings that you can use at the threshing board and the ox yokes for wood to build a fire for the altar. I will give it all to you, your majesty. You may, and may the Lord your God accept your sacrifice." But the king replied, "No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present a burnt offering to the Lord my God that has cost me nothing." So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed the burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Lord answered his prayer for the land, and the plague on Israel was stopped. So as we see as an example from King David, if you sacrifice something, it's got to cost you something. You can't just sacrifice something that's not going to really make an impact on your life, not really going to do anything. You have to pay a price. Jesus paid the price of death So what can we cost? Another way to worship, well, the way we need to worship, is we need to worship in spirit and in truth. I'm sure you've heard this all before, but I'm going to go over it again. What was that, number 6? We'll go to 7 now. Have it all marked weird. Okay, so we're going to go to John 4, 23 through 24. Page is flipping, sounding good, Jesus' word, awesome. All right, verse 23. Sorry, Wes. But the time is coming, and indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. We need to worship God in the spirit. Well, in the Spirit is God. But we also need to worship God in truth. It says right in here, God is looking for those who will worship that way, which is in spirit and in truth. If we are not true in our worship, God's not really looking for us to worship Him. It's not going to benefit Him any. And it's not going to benefit us to praise God that way if it's not true. So we're going to go to Ephesians 4, 1 through 2. Therefore, I, a prisoner serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So in here we see a couple of ways to worship in spirit. One of the ways is humility. And we have an example of humility. We're removing your shoes in the presence of God. It also says you need to be gentle. It says you need to have patience. And these things are also what? Anybody have a guess? Yay! Fruits of the Spirit. Good job. Okay, so let's go to Romans 12. Back and forth, back and forth. So much fun. Romans 12, verse 9. Don't just pretend to love each other. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. And take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with evil. Do such things that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the Scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do this, and you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Okay, so in here, we see a couple of places where you worship in spirit. And in verse 11, where it says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve your Father enthusiastically. We see not to be lazy. Laziness is not a fruit of the Spirit. Neither is a watermelon. Okay, sorry. We need to rejoice with people who are rejoicing and weep with people who are weeping. So another way we worship in spirit is to feel for people, to be sympathetic. And of course, always, we worship God by praying. And also, we see ways you can worship in truth here. We see worship in truth by loving. Now, the word truth, I think, when you worship in truth, this is kind of like action. So when spirit's kind of like inside of you, truth is actually showing it, you know, doing it. And we see in verse 10, love each other with genuine affection. So we need to love. And our love needs to be genuine. Not just like, oh, I love you, you know, it'd be, but actually mean it and actually show it. We need to be honorable to all. So that means even the person that you're angry at or you can't get along with, you got to be honorable around them. And we do that so that people around you can see that you're honorable. And of course, the glory would go to God. And we also need to serve. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Now that word enthusiastically, yeah. Anybody want to say what the word enthusiastic means to them? Anybody have an idea? Leah? Do you have an idea of what enthusiastic means? Micah? Be excited about something. So you're supposed to be excited about worshiping God? Serving God? Is that what it says? Oh yeah? Anybody else have an enthusiastic definition? Okay, so what I've heard from the Rise and Shine song is people don't like it. See? Okay. So we're supposed to be enthusiastic about serving the Lord. And don't be lazy. So I'm going to pull the whole mom thing. When she asks you to clean your room... No, she didn't tell me to say this. When she asks you to clean your room, you're supposed to do it enthusiastically and right away. Don't be lazy. Finding points of parents here. So, and that's with anything you serve with God. That's anything. So that means you take out the garbage. Woo, Jesus! But the thing you got to keep in mind is that you're serving the Lord. And serving Him happily. Oh man, where was I? Okay, so another way we see we worship in truth is to pray. We pray with the Spirit and we also pray in truth. Now it says, live in harmony with each other and don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. So, if we're supposed to associate with ordinary people, that means you actually got to go talk to the band nerds and be nice to them. Is that what it means? No, wait, because band nerds aren't really ordinary. Are they? No. Okay, so what is an ordinary person? I wonder. Is anybody, Rudy, what's an ordinary person? You're an ordinary person. Okay, let me ask this question. What isn't an ordinary person? What is it saying that you're not just supposed to associate with? Maybe it's the rich. Maybe it's the popular. Maybe it's the proud. Maybe it's Wesley. No. That's the weird one. So that's some ways we can worship in truth, is to associate with ordinary people. And also to live in harmony. So that means no quarreling, No fighting. Got to get along, you know, hold hands, skipping down the road. That's what it says. Live in harmony. That's kind of what it means. Okay. And don't think you know it all. You know it all is out there. Don't think you know it all. It also says, well, you can take from verse 19. Well, no, it says, don't take revenge. Has anyone ever done anything to get a revenge on someone? I have. Anybody else? Got really mad at someone? Come on, put your hands up. Raise them up. Now don't be proud about it. Because it's not a good thing. Because it says, I will take revenge and I will pay them back. God says that. So has anyone fed their enemies? Has anyone given them something to drink? Have you? I know I haven't. Music! Everybody loves to worship in music, right? Right? Oh man, I'm not... Oh boy. Getting a little hot in here. Okay, so worship in music. I'm just going to give you some verses that tell us to worship in music. And so we were just on 8, finished 8. Work that out. Number 9. 8. Psalm 69, 29 through 36. Anybody want to go there? I am. I know, I'm quick, huh? Oh, Psalm 69, verses 29 through 36. Everybody ready? I guess so with all the blank stares I'm getting. I'm suffering in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and hooves. The humble will seek their God, will see their God, and work and be glad. Let all who seek God help be encouraged. For the Lord hears the cries of the needy, and he does not despise his imprisoned people. Praise him, O heavens and earth, the seas and all above him and them. For God will save Jerusalem and rebuild the towns of Judah. His people will live there and settle their own lands. The descendants of those who obey him will inherit the land, and those who love him will live there in safety. Okay, so in Psalms, we see we can praise the Lord because of his salvation. Because God saves. We also see we can sing because God loves us. We also see that we can sing because it pleases God. For this will please God more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and hooves. Isaiah 42, 10 through 14. Sing a new song to the Lord. His praises from the ends of the earth. Sing all you who sail the seas, all you who live in distant coastal lands. Join the chorus, you desert towns. Let the villages of Kedar rejoice. Let the people of sing for joy. Shout praises from the mountaintops. Let the whole world glorify the Lord. Let it sing its praise. The Lord will march forth like a mighty hero. He will come out like a warrior full of fury. He will shout his battle cries and crush him all his enemies. He will say, I have long been silent. Yes, I have restrained myself. But now, like a woman in labor, I will cry out and groan in pain. Woman in labor. Okay, so we're supposed to sing to God because God is a mighty warrior. Because He can kick butt, save us, you know? Anybody know that? Anybody know that God can kick butt? Anybody? Luke 1:46-55. I'm going to take you through the entire Bible, aren't I? But this is good, because opening the Word of God, God speaks. Right? Luke 1:46-55. Everybody there? Everybody good? You good? Everybody good? Good. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He took notice of His lowly servant girl. From now on the generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and He has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear Him. His mighty arms has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their throne and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with the good things and sent the rich away empty hands. He has helped His servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For He has made the promises of our ancestors to Abraham and his children forever. Does anyone know what's going on here? Anybody know what's going on here? Zach, what's going on here? Right. So, if she sings because of Jesus, what should we do? That was one of those easy answer ones. Sing because of Jesus. But through this, we can also see that we should praise God for the great things He's doing. Is God doing anything great in people's lives today? Is He? Okay, so all these verses are talking about singing individually. One person crying out to God. You know, singing because God's doing great things. Because He saves. Because He's a mighty warrior. Because of Jesus. So does anybody have an idea why we sing as a church? Huh? Where's that at? What'd you say, Wes? Because the Bible what? Because the people in the Bible do it, but they do it individually. So why are we supposed to worship as a church? Don't get mad at me. Here's what I think. We're supposed to praise God in song when we're alone. Having fun? Praise Jesus. So when we come together in fellowship, we want to tell what God's done. We want to exalt God through the great things that He's doing, right? So if we sing to God alone what the great things He's doing, So what comes naturally if we sing alone and we come to a group together as fellowship? What just comes next? We praise God together, right? We sing and exalt God and the great things He's doing, right? Well, I actually found a scripture in the Bible, one, and that says this. And it's in Psalms. Psalms 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song individually. Sing His praises in the assembly of the faithful. Okay, easy answer. Who is the assembly of the faithful? Good. The body of Christ. Oh boy. I'm way too fast. I was kind of hoping y'all would respond a little more. Something like that. Okay. So now we're going to look at why we worship. We know what we should worship. We know how we should worship, hopefully. If I'm speaking clearly, if God's speaking clearly. So now we want to know why we worship. We worship because God commanded it. Simple, plain fact. Go to Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Thanks for bearing with me. This is my first time. Y'all are great. While you turn there, random thought. Okay. Everybody there? If you're there, give a high five to the person sitting next to you. Okay. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Everybody, if everybody's there, give a high five to the person next to you. Don't be scared. Okay. I don't know why we did that. I don't know why we did that. Okay. Therefore, God elevated Him to the place of high honor and gave Him the name above all names. Who is He talking about here? Good. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in the heavens and the earth and under the earth. So every tongue that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord, and glorify the Father. Wow, I didn't expect that one. We got an amen tonight. Woo! Okay, so looking at that, why do we worship? The answer is in the last verse. Cough, cough. Right. To glorify God. Matthew 4:10-11. Ready, set, go. Everybody there? High five to someone next to you. Do it. Thanks, John and Rudy. Ben's already there. He's got it. Ben's cool. Okay. Verse 10. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scripture says, we must worship the Lord and serve Him only. So, God commands us to worship, right? It says right there, you must worship the Lord. And you must also, you should serve Him only. Now, can you serve something else? Is it possible? Right. Hey, that was a good one. I didn't see that one coming. Oh boy. But you can only serve one master. I don't know. That was caught me off guard there. Right. So we can only serve one God. We can only serve God or this world. And that's where sacrifice comes in too. Lord, you got to sacrifice these things that are keeping us from worshiping the God and having one master. And also here, we worship God. And when we worship God, He gives us power to conquer. He gives us power to conquer Satan. But that's also because he's Jesus, and Jesus kicks butt. So he's like, get out of here. So he does. Okay, I'm sorry. I take that back. God doesn't really give us power to conquer. Jesus conquers Satan through us. He uses us to beat sin. Now, Psalms 149, if you don't need to flip back there, you already heard it. Singing praises to the Lord, a new song. His praise in the assembly of His people. So, there's another reason why we worship God. 1 Chronicles 16:19-10. Anybody know where Chronicles is? Old Testament. Yay! It's on page 646. Turn your Bible on page 646. 1 Chronicles 16:9-10. That's the wrong page. Sorry. 645. 9-10. There we go. Sing to Him. Yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. Exalt Him in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. So God's basically, to wrap this all up, because I'm pretty much finished. The reason why we worship is because God commanded us to. We worship through music. Sing praises because He does great things. Because He's a mighty warrior. We sing together because God's awesome. We also worship. We need to worship in spirit and in truth, with humility, gentleness, with love. We need to be honorable. We worship with sacrifice. What can you sacrifice for God? Don't come empty-handed. And we worship with humility. Remove your shoes. Forget the things of this world. Come into His presence and be amazed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I praise You for this day. God, I thank You for speaking today. God, I pray that we would take these things that we've learned and we would apply them to our lives. God, that You would be glorify. That's our goal. Father, I just want to say we love to worship You, Father. We pray that we would worship in spirit and that we would worship in truth. And then, God, we would also come humble. That we wouldn't. God, You are our friend. You also are our Lord and Savior. And we praise You. In Jesus' name I pray.